Hey everybody, Marty Biron, formerly of the New York Rangers. I know I'm wearing my Sabres shirt right now. We're at the draft, but you're listening to the Jimmy and Ricky Show here. Enjoy.
Hello everyone. Welcome to All in One Sports. Jimmy B, Ricky O here, back another day here on a Thursday night. It's wrestling night here on the program. We talked a lot of hockey yesterday, so it's wrestling night. I have to be joined by, you know, one of the best in the business, Ricky O.
Retired.
He knows his stuff. He's retired, but he's still one of the best in the business. You know what?
Ricky.
There's a great story. You guys go to my Facebook. I'll put it on the page. Ricky, back in the day, Six Flags, JCW was such a fun night.
That was a great show, man. I had so much fun.
That was a great show.
We had everybody on that show, too.
Yeah,
we had Tommy Tonga from the Bullet Club,
yeah.
Joey Janela before he was a breakout star, Ricky Steamboat, Mick Foley.
DiBiase there.
Yeah, DiBiase. X-Pac showed up. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That was a great show. Great show. One of my favorites that I've been to in New Jersey. Just a big wrestling guy. But, you know, we're talking about it. The biggest storyline in the business, the bloodline. Paulie Heyman, Roman Reigns, Usos, Solo Sikoa, Money in the Bank coming up. It is the best storyline going.
Oh, it's the best storyline in the last 5 years.
Easily.
If not longer.
Yeah, absolutely. Easily.
Not longer.
I mean, look, you know, what Roman's done since he's come back from his treatments, you know, the title, winning it, combining all the belts, coming out like he's the man, you know, 1,000-day reign, all this stuff. But the fact how they've woven everything together from start to finish and now bringing it back again, it's just unbelievable what they've done, you know, since Triple H has taken over. He gets it. He understands the business. And it's just a moneymaker. And, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the decision of WrestleMania to not put the title on Cody, I mean, this is must-see television every week.
I'd love to touch on that for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that had Vince McMahon's paws written all over it. If you know anything about Vince McMahon, one thing over the years that he was not a big fan of was taking somebody he did not create and making them the face of his company.
Yeah.
That's why he worked so hard with Roman. That's why he worked so hard to establish characters with The Shield and Seth Rollins, new identities. Didn't let them come in as indies. He had to put them down in NXT and bring them up. And it's because, I'm sorry, I'm getting texted from an ECW original right now. I'm trying to get her to jump on the show. He wants to create his own superstars, and he's always done that. And if you know Vince, I could have told you outright that there was no way that Roman Reigns was going to drop that belt to Cody Rhodes that night. As a matter of fact, I wish I had a wrestling site that would take bets. You know, I know there are some, but Cody Rhodes is – you got to remember something. Cody Rhodes is a self-made man right now. He was in the WWE, couldn't get over for shit. All right. He couldn't draw a fly, so a pile of shit. And he goes to AEW, goes to Japan, I'm sorry, and, you know, puts new energy into the Bullet Club, gets that stuff over, goes to AEW, becomes a megastar. And then all of a sudden there's a major falling out there for some reason. God only knows what happened. I know there's more of a story there than what's been let out. But Roman Reigns beating him put another year into Cody Rhodes. Now Cody's in the feud with Brock. He's going to go over Brock. He's going to build himself up, and I'm sure next year's WrestleMania will be Roman against Cody, round two. Cody takes this one, gives Reigns a way to slowly, you know, start to his semi-retirement and going into movies. But you got to build it, and you got to – sometimes you can't just what they call hotshot an angle. You can't bring a guy in one night and have him win a world title. And I don't mean one night, but I'm just talking a couple months after the injury and the whole nine yards. It's the Rocky story. Rocky didn't win Rocky 1. People don't remember that. He lost, right?
He did. He lost. He lost by decision.
Yeah. Give me one second. You carry us for a second. I'm working on major guest right now.
Major guest. Ricky O working on major guest live on the air. But, yeah, he's talking about Rocky 1. He doesn't win. Goes to the cards. Doesn't go over. Then there's Rocky 2. And this was something I think they wanted to play out in AEW when he was there. But the problem is Cody took himself out of the title picture and he was only in that TNT thing. And I think the fans were getting tired of that. I think that was a big thing also. You know, he had some great promos, but it just didn't go anywhere. And, you know, now he comes back, he makes the return at the WrestleMania 39 and goes over and, You know, he's made himself, but I agree with you. I think, you know, Vince just doesn't like guys from outside the company to carry his company. The problem is he couldn't do that with AJ Styles, right? Like, Styles establishing himself other places, but even Styles said that the minute the reaction he got at the Royal Rumble changed Vince's mind on him, because if he tried to bury him, the fans were going to revolt. Hence why he got the WWE title when he did, just because the fan reaction to Styles alone. And I think, you know, if Triple H is running the show and Vince didn't like it, you know, I think Cody probably, I think you could have still done this storyline with the Bloodline, even without the title, and Cody with Brock with all this stuff. But again, like you said, they're going to build it up for round two, and they're going to have a rematch, and they're going to have the title switch, and then Roman's off, and then we can get another title creation, because all we need is more belts on wrestling these days, because the titles don't matter. The streak doesn't really matter to me, because it's not one world championship. It's, you know, just made up title. But, you know, the storyline is great with the Usos, because Jey Uso was the one that started it, and now it's full circle again with these guys.
Full circle. But here's something I love. They introduce a belt for the Universal Champion so that he only has to carry the one belt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what is Roman doing?
They're carrying all the belts.
All three. His character is so over-the-top fucking badass, right? I've met Roman when he was probably – I'm about 13 years older than him. So I would say he was probably 10 or 11 years old when I met him for the first time. The Usos were 3 and 4 years old the first time I met them. The family – is just out of this world talented. Like, they should, the WWE should just take a cast of Rikishi's dick and put it in the Hall of Fame, because really all three of his kids are in there, right? Then you got his brothers are professional wrestlers. His youngest son has just debuted. There's another brother out there, the Wolfman over in MLW, Jacob Fatu, who just can't get into, it's Roman's brother. He can't get into the WWE because of he had a crime, and they're trying not to promote him. He was involved in a violent crime. But I always laugh at that, because didn't Booker T rob a bank and do years in prison? Like, yeah. Give a guy a second chance.
And they turned that into a storyline.
Of course they did. Of course they did. But I have an amazing AJ Styles story for you. I don't know if people are familiar. My name is Ricky O. I owned Jersey Championship Wrestling, the NWA, and eventually Game Changer Wrestling for over 24 years. My J Cup, one year I had both Briscoe brothers. I had AJ Styles, Reckless Youth, Colt Cabana, CM Punk, Flex, Felix Skipper. There was just so many guys on the show. American Dragon, Brian Danielson, all on one show.
What a great show that was.
And the WWE actually did an article on it in their magazine about how it's the first time AJ Punk, Reckless, and Danielson all met for the first time was in my locker room. And AJ Styles gets picked up. I got two great stories from this show. I pick up AJ Styles at LaGuardia, and I have to drive him through New York City. The traffic's insane. And he says he wants to see Madison Square Garden. And I said, well, it's two blocks away. I'll stop. So I'm in the middle of the street on, I believe it was, what's the 7th Avenue. And all of a sudden, he sees Madison Square Garden, and he jumps out of my moving car and runs towards Madison Square Garden, runs up the stairs, and he kisses the front stairs of Madison Square Garden. I pull over. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And he comes to me, and he goes, you don't understand. He goes, I'm a religious man, and that's the church of professional wrestling right there. There is no other building in the world. And he looked at me, and he goes, one day I will be world champion in that building.
And he was.
And he got back in my car, and we drove. And then I drop him off at the hotel, and 2 hours later, I have to go pick up Brian, the American Dragon Danielson, at JFK. And this is the funniest story ever. So he gets off the plane, and there is Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie walking right past me. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton. I'm like, what's up, Billy? And he gives me a fist bump. And Angelina, I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. She's like, nice to meet you, too. And she walks away, and then out comes American Dragon with his little bag. And I go, hey, Brian, how you doing? I'm Ricky O. And he's like, hi, how are you? Like, with this just little kid, hi. So I go, did you see Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton? He says, yes, I was seated right next to them on the plane. And he goes, I know them from Blockbuster. I go, what? And it turned out him and his mom were manager and assistant manager at a Blockbuster out in Seattle, Washington. And then he gets in the car, and I'm like, you know, I'm trying to talk to him. He's so modest, and he's so young at this time, right?
Yeah.
And I go, is there anything I can get you, Brian? Is there anything you'd like? And he goes, just like this. He's looking straight ahead out the windshield of the car, and he looks at me, and he goes, soup. I go, what? I would really like some soup. I like soup. And I go, okay, I'll find the restaurant, and we'll get you some soup. And he's like, yes, sir, I would like some soup. And then he's like, is there any Blockbusters out here in this area? Because I have my Blockbuster employee card, and I get a discount on rentals. And I just
thought, that's so good.
He was so innocent. And you know
what?
That's
so good.
He's that guy.
He is, yeah.
American Dragon, 10 years later, I ran into him. Still got the biggest hugs. You know, I got to say that about CM Punk, too. That was a show he fractured his skull. If you ever watch his DVD, Best in the World, where the Easter eggs on that show is all my J-Cup. He fractured his skull. He ended up in the hospital. He was hurt really bad. And, you know, he worked for me on and off for about 2 years. He did a lot of my shows. And last year when AEW came to Nashville, I went to the hotel to see Eddie Kingston, and I ran into Punk. And he just kind of looked at me cross-eyed, and I go, Punk, it's Ricky. And he goes, wow, you lost a lot of weight, you fat fuck. And I said, yeah. And it was just like, you know, big hug, and he made me feel really good, because there was other people there that didn't get that response from him. And he's you know, he say what you want to say. He's one of this generational's greatest talents, you know?
Absolutely.
And Tony Khan has got too many toys in his toy box. I know you love AEW. And I love what AEW stands for, but I don't love the way AEW is being run. Unfortunately, I think Tony is just – there's too many big announcements, okay?
I have a problem with that, too.
Right, because you know what? It's like the little boy who cried wolf. You're going to continue to use the word big announcement, but it doesn't mean anything after a while.
No.
Right? Tony Khan's got a big announcement. He got a new Adderall deal. Okay, you know, we all know he's on it. But you got the greatest wrestlers in the world, Claudio Castagnoli. You've got Punk. You've got
Moxley.
I think Moxley sucks. That's
you got. You got Danielson. You got Punk. You got FTR. Which one is the best tag team?
FTR
in the world?
Badasses, dude. Legit badasses.
My if favorite you ever tag watched, team.
Did ever. You ever watch the video when Bret Hart gets attacked during?
Yeah,
the
dude. Oh man, what so good, dude? I got a great story about that. So my buddy got tickets day of at a Hall of Fame. He goes there. He sees that stuff live in person.
That's insane. I mean, the punch he threw. And you know who jumped right in there was Natalie, too.
Yeah, they all just jumped this dude.
Natalie Neidhart was in Syracuse, New York, the same night that I debuted. Not debuted, but the same night Vince called me up and asked me to bring 10 extras to a show when we got there. And she was with the New Heart Foundation at the time. And we were all changing literally in a broom closet with a tarp around it. Like, you're as an extra, you have nobody wants you there. Nobody wants to treat you nicely. And we made a pact. She goes, listen, when we go to the ring, will you watch my clothes? And I go, yeah, what do you mean? She says, well, they're really mean. They'll come in here and they'll cut your clothes up and they'll steal your shoes. And I was like, wow, really? Like, and she's like, yeah. So we watched their gear. And then when it was time for us to go out and do our segment where we worked as security for the Edge Triple H feud, and I ended up getting to like four segments. Triple H and I hit it off, and he was really cool to me. And he was like, hey, man, you're a big dude, and you held me back. It looked realistic. He's like, I want you in all my scenes with me for the rest of the night. I was like, really flattered by that. So I got to work four segments with him. And the fourth one, everybody had left already. And I come back to the back, and those son of a bitches stole my shoes.
Oh.
And I literally in the middle of Syracuse, New York, with no shoes, trying to drive home like 6 hours, freezing my feet or freezing.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Hey, guys, if you're in the chat room, I'm sorry, if you're watching the show live right now and you want to ask us any kind of questions or anything, the chat is open, correct, Jimmy?
Chat's open. Drop us a comment. Drop us feedback, whatever you want, questions. It doesn't matter. So please do so. Use the chat room. Use the comments. We love to hear from you guys. You know, we've been doing this, talking some wrestling tonight here on a Thursday.
Hey, next Thursday, we're going to have two amazing original ECW people on. They just confirmed with me they can't do it tonight, but they're going to do it next week with us. I won't give up any names. It's going to be a big surprise. We'll put it out when we definitely get a confirmation during the week, because next Thursday is a little crazy for me and you. You'll be traveling.
Yeah.
And I'll be at the draft. Let's get to something we were talking about a little earlier with this Paul Heyman scandal that's about to break.
Yeah, well, I just want to touch on one thing before the Paul Heyman thing. You mentioned AEW. So everybody knows I'm a big AEW guy. Everybody calls me an AEW homer. They said that at the beginning. I am. I'm not going to not admit it. But I will say, if you've listened to me lately, I've been starting to criticize them a little bit more than I have in the past because of the big thing with the huge announcements and not using the card the right way and guys and certain things. I will say I love the product. It's something different. I love all wrestling. My big stance is like whatever you want. If you like just WWE, great. If you like AEW, great. If you like TNA, whatever, doesn't matter. Wrestling business is in good shape. I really believe that. I'm going to be lucky enough to be in Toronto this weekend for the show. It's going to be awesome.
What are you doing up in Toronto?
Forbidden Door.
Oh, so you're going up just specifically for the show?
Yeah, yeah. A friend of mine lives up there. Got some tickets. He invited me to come up. So
I might need a t-shirt.
All right, you just let me know.
You know, I like listen, I talk a lot of trash about AEW because I like to break Tony Khan's balls. Yeah. Here's what I'd break his balls about, right? CM Punk is a superstar beyond words, right?
Absolutely, 100% superstar.
There's a fight that takes place backstage. We really don't all know the whole story, but I'll tell you who was involved in that, and that was that scumbag, parasite, piece of shit, motherfucker, cocksucker, gum on the bottom of your shoe, Colt Cabana, right? Then you look around, and you got another scumbag over there in Sonjay Dutt. You got all of these hangers-on, these lifelong hangers-on, that have never drawn a dollar in this business, but every new company that opens their backstage. Then you got this fight takes place. It's Ace Steel, one of the coolest motherfuckers in the world, okay? Ace worked for me as Kimchi, used to manage Kamala on my big show.
Oh, yes.
Little known secret, right? I have nothing but respect for that man. He's a lifelong friend of Punk's. So why is he guilty? Why is he fired? Why is he taken off the road for defending his friends when the Bucks with 3-on-1 on Punk, right? And Punk, you know, there were some, you know, other people in the room. I'm not sure the whole details. Nobody, none of us were really there. But Ace Steel's a stand-up guy. These parasites, man, these parasites that are around Tony Khan poisoning his mind is what upsets me with Tony Khan. You have something amazing. And I'm not talking about the Bucks or Kenny Omega. I love Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega to me is one of the top five wrestlers in the world right now.
The Young Bucks were on within their first 6 months of working on a tour for JCW in the NWA when we did a joint tour from Rochester down to Atlantic City. I had nothing but respect for them also. The only thing is I'm not really crazy about the gimmick now. They play these like Road Warrior, you know, Cornette calls them Road Warrior Buck and everything. But they are a little smaller to be doing these super moves with these big guys. But that's neither here nor there. That's their philosophy. God bless them. Treat your stars like stars. Embrace your megastars. Let them make you money and get rid of these parasites. Bring it. And they just did. Congratulations to Kevin Matthews. Pat Buck is over there, former WWE producer. He's left to go to AEW. Kevin Matthews got a backstage role with AEW this week. A very good friend of mine. I know Kevin since he's 18 years. Actually 17 years old. It's probably almost going on 25 years now. Congratulations to him getting his foot in the door there. That's what you need more of. You need more of these 35 to 40 year old guys who are in touch with the fans and know the business and are fresh faces. We don't need this recycled garbage over and over and over backstage, pulling these strings, getting their buddies in. It just doesn't work. And I wish Tony nothing but the best. You got what now? What's he got? 4 hours of programming on TV?
At the he's got 5 hours of programming on TV. I mean, if we want to count Rampage on Friday, quick hour. I mean,
no, it counts.
Yeah, it counts. There's 5 hours of television. You have Dynamite. You have Collision now. And too obviously, much. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. It's too much. There's a lot on. I could live without Rampage. I really could.
The Saturday show. Have you watched it?
I watched last week's. It was in Chicago. I thought it was, to be honest, I'm going to say something. I don't know if Tony Khan produced it or not, or booked it or not, but that was one of the smoothest booked shows AEW ever put on.
Absolutely.
Ever.
The same thing. I heard that from other people.
Ever. I thought it was really good. I heard Danielson's involved, which is awesome. I know Punk's involved in his stuff. I love the fact that him and FTR are together. That's just a great thing because those guys are Bret Hart guys. I'm a Bret Hart guy. So, you know, Ricky, you know, I got to give a shout out to Ricky when we did the show together. When you had me come up over there for the show on big event when it was in New York. You got me allowed, got me in to see Bret Hart. He's my favorite wrestler of all time. So, you know, shout out to you for that, because, you know,
anything for my friends, bro.
Absolutely. I mean, he's the man, the best in the best wrestler ever to me, technical wrestler. He's awesome.
You know, but what was your favorite incarnation of Bret Hart?
Oh, heel Bret Hart 97. Easily.
Anti-American Bret Hart.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. The best. I wish none of that, all that stuff went down, because that feud with Austin could have just kept going and everything. And it would have been so good. But that was my favorite, Bret Hart. I mean, Bret, all, you know, what he did, everything was great to me. He couldn't have a bad match. He really couldn't. Just a technician. But like Punk, he's a megastar. You got to embrace, I agree. Punk's a megastar. He's a polarizing figure. Whether you love him or hate him, you're going to watch him, because he's great on the mic. He's a great wrestler. And, you know, it's awesome.
CM Punk is a guy who made more with less than anybody in the history of the wrestling business.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is, he's not a freaked out steroid head like a Brock Lesnar. He's not the greatest technical wrestler like a Bret Hart. He's a very good promo, and he's taken what he can do and he's mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
Let him run with it. If he hasn't been injured for the last 2 years on and off, I think AEW is really, really up here.
Well, I think that's what hurt the Summer of Punk when he came back, won the world title on Paige. I think, you know, you know,
are you a Hangman Page fan? Yeah, me either.
I'm not really a big Hangman Page guy. I'm really not. But with Punk, if he doesn't get hurt, the Summer of Punk, we get all the great stuff, all the great matches. And then MJF takes the title off of him at Full Gear. And, you know, and then maybe we don't get the fight. I think Tony Khan's got to control his press conferences after these pay-per-views a little bit more.
Great point. I'm going to tell you a great point, and here's what I mean by that. How true it is with Punk book most of Collision. If I also heard that. That is.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard
that. That's a great point, that he was given credit for doing a lot of that with the FDR in his corner, you know. And that's what I'm saying. These guys have their pulse on what wrestling fans want. Listen, we all like wrestling. We want to put our imagination back to 1979 and remember when it was, well, you might not have been born, but.
No, I was not.
When it was real. Like, you literally, George fucking Steel came out and kids ran. Bruiser Brody came out with a chain and whipped the shit out of people. Stan Hansen in the back of the Meadowlands, Pro Wrestling USA. I remember it like it was yesterday. He's coming in with the AWA world title the night he loses it to Rick Martel. And the fans were rocking his cab, right? And I'm like, wow. I'm like, you know, 15, 16-year-old kid. I'm like, holy shit. And they're rocking his cab. And all of a sudden, the door flies open and this cowbell and this rope. And he just, first five people just smashed them. And everybody's running and he's whipping people with the. And I'm like, holy shit. And you thought it was real. And the reason you did was everybody in that ring, including the jobbers, and I hate that word, enhancement talent, were bigger than what these wrestlers are today. Right?
Yeah. They're all way bigger.
Johnny Rods was built better than the Young Bucks.
Oh, you know, he was. See,
SD Jones. SD Jones.
Dude, one of the best in the business.
Eric Sims, you motherfucker. The only guy I ever loved in professional wrestling, my top five in the world, are the Road Warriors, Dusty Rhodes, SD Jones, and Samoa Joe. That's some crazy, okay?
But that's some lineup right there.
I worshipped SD Jones, and I handed Eric Sims a camera at a convention probably 20 years ago. And I said, Eric, please, I've never met him before. Take my picture. Half of my head's cut off, and SD Jones is a black blob. It literally looked like somebody took their finger and put it in ink and went like this on a piece of paper. This fucking guy's a professional photographer. He fucks my picture up. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, use what you have. These guys, they're brilliant. Let them write the scripts. Let them do what they need to do to get that show over. And if they fail, then it's on him. You know, it's on Punk. It's on the FDR. You got what's her name coming back?
Thunder Rosa.
Thunder Rosa, another amazing talent. Okay, let these people that the fans want to see, let them see them. But you got to trim some of that fat too.
There's too much people. And I will say, I think another thing besides the press conferences where he lets these guys run wild a little too much is the fact he don't pull the trigger early enough on thing decisions. Go back to All Out with the Acclaimed and against Keith Lee and Swerve. You should have called an audible that night. crowd was hot for the Acclaim. That title change doesn't need to happen 2 weeks later in New York. That needed to happen that night in Chicago. Yeah. Make the audible, change it in the ring, and make put the title change that night. He screwed up the year before. He screwed up the same year at Revolution with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Instead, she has to wait a week later, and a pop, it was not as good.
Right. There's times you got to feel the crowd. Now, here's something you might not know. Anthony Bowens is from New Jersey. Clifton.
Yeah, here. He is. Yeah, he's a good dude.
His dad is Sandy Vigilante.
He played hockey, right?
Hockey fights.
Yeah.
He actually literally started the hobby. He's my mentor. I worship the ground Sandy walks on. He would take me to minor league hockey games with him. He would give me tapes. He's my connection to, at the time, the head coach of the New York Rangers, walked me right in as an 18-year-old kid and was like, this is my protege. Don't want to say the coach's name, but he was trading fight tapes and giving them scattering reports on minor league fighters. And Anthony's his son and literally super proud of him. Sandy's one of the greatest guys in the entire world. Worship Sandy. If anything ever happens to Sandy, I'm going to call his kid up and say, I'll give you every penny I own to have your dad's collection of tapes, just your tapes.
Yeah.
But great kid. No. Another New Jersey kid, you know, and people don't realize just how many people come out of New Jersey.
Jay Lethal, Sonny Kiss.
Bulls Mahoney, Chris Candido,
yeah.
Diamond Dallas Page. All of these guys are New Jersey guys, man.
Bam Bam, my uncle used to live near Bam Bam Bigelow down in Asbury. It's great. So that was cool. But yeah, I mean, Anthony Bowens, funny, when AEW returned after COVID and everything, New York and in New Jersey the first time, I did a thing of the rap for the Acclaim, and I put it on my Twitter. Bowens saw it, he retweeted it, liked it. So that was really cool. I was like, yo, Bowens is a good dude.
He's a great kid, man. And that's a he great kid. And daddy ass. I mean, Billy Gunn is just ageless, bro. Ageless. The guy looks like he's 40.
I know.
He looks like he's 24 years old.
You had me drop him off at the airport the one time from the convention. That was great.
That's a story for another day.
But you were going to talk about, you know, to close up shop, I think, on tonight. I think you want to end it with the Paul Heyman story.
Well, I don't want to end it. I'm enjoying this wrestling talk stuff. And I got a couple questions for you. I want to pick your brain a little bit. No, but there's supposedly a big scandal coming out about how Paulie dangerously just absolutely robbed ECW from Todd Gordon, the behind-the-scene drugs, the problems with women. I don't want to use certain words because I don't want to put words in other people's mouths. But a lot of black scandal cloud coming out, and allegedly it's going to expose Paulie really badly. And I'm just wondering what that's going to do with the WWE and him, because if any of this stuff comes out, and with the woke crowd that's out there right now, I mean, Jesus Christ, they destroyed Tommy Dreamer for 6 months because he just came out and said Ric Flair is Ric Flair. He drinks, he parties, and he tries to bang women. And next thing you know, they're trying to boycott Tommy Dreamer, the greatest guy in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, I just wrote Tommy a little thing on Twitter, and he was really cool. Like, he messaged me, and he actually thanked me. I'll tell you a story. My daughter, my youngest daughter, Ricky Lynn, my best friend in the world, this kid, she literally used to run my ring crew at 10 years old. She knew how to put a ring together, how to break it down, how to make ropes tighter, the whole nine yards. But she would literally worship the ground Tommy Dreamer walked on. So I told her, Daddy booked Tommy Dreamer. And she was like flipping out for weeks. She didn't know what to wear. I think it was her first crush. So make a long story short, we're at a show in Oakland, New Jersey. And she walks up to Tommy, and I introduced her to Tommy, and she's like literally crying. She's like, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And our DJ was Rico Ventola, DJ Rico. Yeah. I don't know if you know him. He's a little nuts. I love the kid to death, but he's out of his mind.
Yeah.
And he kept making fun of my daughter, and he kept teasing my daughter, and he's embarrassing her in front of Tommy Dreamer. And finally, Tommy goes, hey, sweetheart, you want the cane? And she goes, yeah. And he hands her his Singapore cane. And my daughter starts beating the living shit out of DJ Rico for like legit shoot shots to his back. Bam, back of the head, bam. And Tommy's just standing there going, she's not bad. She's not bad. She swings that thing pretty good. And we had to pull her off of Rico. And that's one of my greatest memories in the world. And I had mentioned that to Tommy, and he remembered it vaguely, you know, pretty well. And he shot me a little DM, and we talked for a couple minutes. He's just a great guy. He's one of the best people in the business, you know? And, I just love Tommy Dreamer, and I love the original ECW. I loved everybody that came from that program. I love the fact that Shane Douglas, one of the greatest guys.
Yeah, great dude. Changed history.
I got that belt. I should have never have sold it. I got this belt signed at a convention. On one side, it was Ricky Steamboat, the NWA world title. He said, I fought and I bled for this title. And on the other side, Shane signed it. I threw this piece of shit in the trash.
Oh, man.
But think about that. Think about the, you know.
The history of that belt.
The history of that belt. And I was there when he did it. I was there when he tossed it on Carluzzo and them. And nobody, none of us knew it was coming. You know, that was one of the most blatant, well-done swerves in the history of professional wrestling, you know.
Yeah, and it changed the business forever. And the ECW title was created. And he got a raw deal when he went to WWE. I'm sorry, he got a raw deal.
The click ruined wrestling, brother.
Yeah,
the click.
It did, man. It did. Ruined it.
They chased a lot of guys out of there. They chased Candido. They tortured that poor guy. They made Bam. Listen, could you imagine the pull they must have had that they made Bam Bam Bigelow's life horrible? This son of a bitch killed people with one finger.
Yeah.
But you had you kissed the right ass at that time. And I guess, you know, the stroke was in somebody else's hands and it wasn't theirs. And it was hard for those guys, you know. But I'm gonna throw a couple questions at you tonight.
Yeah.
Give me your top five.
Top five. Man, Bret Hart, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Austin, and Undertaker.
Taker's amazing. I'd leave Taker out of my top five only because I just think he's magical. But my top five is more like a personal thing, like
some
worship, you know. But, you know, if you look at the history of the business, you're Mount Rushmore of the business. And I'm going to say 80 up, okay? I'm not going to go back into Luthes and all of them. But it's got to be Hogan, Flair, Undertaker, Rocky, and Stone Cold.
Yeah, easy.
You know,
much as if you hate, whether you're a pro Hogan guy or not, you got to understand what he did.
There's no business if he didn't do what he did.
So we had this debate, my buddy Lefty and I, when we do our nightcap recaps and stuff. So we had a lot to talk about during COVID, and this was like one of the topics. And somebody brought up Vince McMahon. Shouldn't Vince McMahon be on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
Absolutely, but I think as an owner, I don't think he gets – you know, I think, you know, top 10 most influential figures in the history of wrestling.
Absolutely.
I mean, absolutely, you know. I love Vince. I always joke. I used to joke with people and tell people that he might have been my father. And, you know, I played that up a lot in my company when we were doing little small shows and stuff like that. And I would always tell people, hey, watch out. You know, my dad is Vince McMahon and I can buy this company. He just doesn't know he's my father. That's why I don't have money yet. But love Vince, love Shane, love Stephanie, love what they did.
Shane was an animal back in, like, dude, he put his body on the line.
Could you imagine?
So good.
Could you imagine being that wealthy and jumping off the top of a cage through a table just for fun? Hey, bro. Dad, I'm going to throw myself 30 feet off the cage tonight. What the fuck is this guy thinking?
The best is at King of the Ring in 2001. We was taking on Angle with the through those glass things. Vince wants to run out from the back and stop the match.
Oh, when he's going through the Titantron.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and blows out his quad because he's old on steroids now.
Yeah. That was funny.
He lived his dad's dream. He same thing his father did.
Yeah,
remember
exactly.
Remember when Vince blew out his two quads?
Yep. That was great.
Oh, my God. That's funny. That's a funny moment, man. Yeah, but going back to the bloodline, what do you think – where do you think they're going with that now? You tell me what you think is going to happen.
I mean, obviously we get the tag match, Money in the Bank. I feel like they're going to have somebody show up and help Roman – there, like another member of that bloodline, like just show up and then they're gonna win. But we're heading towards somewhere, we're getting some singles matches with Jey Uso again.
You know, Rikishi can still go, bro.
I know he can. Yo, he did it for The Rock.
You know, he could still go. Watch out if he shows up.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's where they're heading. I think maybe you're gonna get some singles matches, get it full circle with Jey Uso taking on.
Do you see, I was just going to say that, do you see, they're obviously going to go Uso, but do you see Sakoi turning eventually and getting the main event against Roman?
I think Solo's going to get his shot. I think Roman's going to hold him back, and then he's going to want his shot.
He's going to want a shot, and I think you're going to see the big spike, and it's going to cost Roman a match, maybe a tag match 6 months from now.
Yeah.
And if he gets his one-on-one chance, and listen, they play that kid right up. He could be a gigantic babyface.
Dude, that kid, I mean, look, you know, you talk about you know, star making ability. That kid has it. Could be a future world champion.
Oh, I think for sure. Absolutely. He's got it written all over him. He's got his father's size.
Yeah, he does.
The Usos are amazing, but the Usos are very slender and sleek built. And
well, Jimmy's starting to look like Rikishi a little bit.
They all gain a little weight at the end.
Yeah. But Jay looks skinny as anything, but Jimmy looks a little bit.
We'll say thick. We'll say thick.
Yeah, thick. Exactly.
Yeah, so your top five is pretty impeccable. Yeah. Give me your number one wrestling moment. What made you turn around one day and go, oh, my God, like this was insane?
Oh, man. So many. I think there's so many great moments. I think 96, I think, for me, when Hogan turned heel at the Bash at the Beach, and then after, and that just comes a couple weeks after Austin does the Austin 316. Like, for me, that was, like, great stuff. Like, I was like, holy shit.
That was the golden era.
That was, I'm like, this is, here we go. We're getting something here. Because you never thought Hogan was going to turn. And then he turns heel, and then he just goes. And then you have the Monday Night Wars, and that era was just awesome.
And now here's my point. I'm glad you brought that up. The Monday Night Wars, Eric Bischoff, I got to give him credit. Okay, hold on. We got a question coming in. I think it's going to be after SummerSlam.
Yeah,
I would look more towards October, November.
Yeah.
That time of year leading into next year's Mania. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
What was I just saying?
Bischoff, yeah.
So you got to give Eric Bischoff credit. Here's a guy who started off going and selling ninja stars. Literally, you would put a Velcro vest on and throw ninja stars at your friends, and if they stuck, that was his gimmick. He tried to sell it to the AWA. Then he goes in and becomes an announcer. He gets his name and foot in the door. He goes on to the WCW, NWA at the time, gets his foot in the door, ends up taking over, and builds a war machine. There's nothing more to say. He takes the NWA idea from Japan. I don't want to hear anybody tell me it was original. It was not.
No, it was from Japan. But I think he finally admitted it.
Oh, no, he's admitted it because he had to, because the proof is out there. But the fact that he put Hogan in that position, convinced Hogan to turn heel after all of these years, is what makes it amazing. Now, there's some similarities here. He had the Benoits. He had the Malenkos. He had the Jerichos. He had the Juventudes, the Rey Mysterios, all of them, even though they were all in ECW first, but he put them on a main stage on a Friday
cruiser,
night.
That cruiserweight division was unbelievable.
Right. And then he has the top stars. He has Nash. He has Hall. He has Hogan. He has everybody. Sting. He has DDP. He has Dusty and Flair still. Dusty and Flair are the 10th and 11th guy there. Randy Savage is the 13th guy in that company. Yeah. Okay. Tell me what's similar to AEW. He starts adding more TV. He's watering it down to a point now where we're watching Todd Cruz or whatever the fuck his name is. On shows where we're watching Rochester Roblox take on Devin Storm. Yeah. And then people are just like, what's going on here? Like, oh, I'm not watching this. And then you start confusing the C show with the A show. And you're like, oh, I watched WCW the other night and it really sucked. No, you watched the Saturday show. You got to watch the Tuesday night show. No, I watched the Thursday night show. And you're like, what the fuck? You know?
It's too much.
And this is what I'm saying with Tony Khan. You have a roster of 100 million people and they're all stars. Don't get me wrong. They're all stars. But what are you going to do with Mero? Who's going to pay a pay-per-view to watch Mero? I love the guy. He lives here.
I love him too.
I love his wife. But what are they going to do with him? What are you going to do with Jay Lethal? What are you going to do with some 10, 15 of these guys? You got, what's his name, Jack White?
Jay White
over there, who's turning into Jay Stick Figure. Like, have you noticed this guy's lost like 30 pounds and he only weighed 60 to begin with? I'll be honest with you.
You look like him a little bit. Switchblade.
You are Switchblade. There's too much. Take your top 20 guys and build a company around it. Take it, put a circle around Danielson, Punk, the Bucks, these guys.
I think that was the first year. I think they did that. Cody with the open challenge with the TNT title. You brought in Ricky Starks. You brought guys like that in. And now the roster's too huge.
Look, even Darby Allin, right? He's a great he's a great talent. The kids love him. What's he bring to the company? He's 5'4", 116 fucking pounds, right?
People love him.
They love him, but put him in the fucking opening match. Don't put him against MGF. You build MGF as Roddy Piper. You don't build him as a fucking first match guy who's wrestling four guys that are smaller than him, and he's not the biggest guy in the show.
No, but MJF's the best, one of the best in the company.
The best in the world. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, he's awesome.
Treat him with the respect he deserves. You put him in a four-way with Jungle Boy. Are you fucking kidding me? The guy's hairline starts over here. He's 18 years old. He looks like... Listen, but if he grew up in Therese Park in Lodi, New Jersey, he'd get his fucking ass kicked every day.
He would. Yeah, he would. No, but he gets it with certain guys. Like Orange Cassidy, it seems like, always opens every Dynamite.
Love Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy goes back 15 years with me. People don't know that he was one of the fire ants in Shikara wrestling for Mike Quackenbush. The guy has been around forever. He's reinvented himself, and he's absolutely amazing. And I like what they've done with that gimmick, too, where he's not always hands in his pockets anymore. No. It's still there, but the characters evolve. Samoa Joe being back. You have the baddest badass in the country right now.
I love Samoa Joe, man. Samoa Joe's awesome. Like, I hope that rivalry with Punk gets renewed to ROH days.
Absolutely.
These guys are, I mean, look. They're
Joe
so
is going to kill you.
Yeah, that. I mean, dude, they were chanting that in TNA.
That's what I'm saying. The guy's a star. Build around
him. I got a question for you. So 2004 to like, I've always said this. Would you agree that 2004 to 2010, TNA was off the charts? Like, good.
Very good. Very good. But again, they had a clown running it. And they had a lady who was inexperienced. And they used her as an ATM instead of you. Wrestlers don't realize something. And this is funny. It's going to sound funny, but it's not. If you find a mark with millions of dollars, fuck them slowly.
Yeah.
Don't take $40 million in the first year when you can get $5 million for 13 years.
Right.
But wrestlers have to take and take and take creative control. Bring in my friend. Okay, Hogan's here. Bring in Bischoff. Bring in Beefcake. 15 different names. Do this. Just slow play it sometimes, guys. Like, you had Dixie Carter, who was willing to spend money. Her family's wealthy. They're willing to do things for the boys. They had a role going, man. They were great.
And they were awesome.
And it just got shut down.
To me, I was watching more TNA during that period than I was watching WWE because it was just like, all right, I don't want to see Cena all the time. Batista, I was like, all right, what else can you give me? Then I see because a couple of button buddies were watching. They were talking about Styles and Daniels and all these guys. And I'm like, oh shit! I'm like, this is good
AJ
stuff
Styles
over
was the
here,
king of the
man.
World at that time,
dude. He was on fire. That Christian Cage goes over there. Angle's there. Stinger's
CM Punk
there.
Was there. Teddy
CM
Hart
Punk,
was there.
Yeah,
the infamous guys. Fight. Remember? Yeah. Was there.
Joe was there. Like they, that was some
main event mafia.
Main event mafia. Team Canada. Scott D'Amore. Like all those guys. Bobby Roode was there, man. Like just great. Great stuff there.
Great times. Well,
great times.
Listen, we gotta get this wrapped up tonight. Next week, next Thursday, we're gonna have a couple of live guests on. Next week, you and I live doing the show.
Live from the draft. Yep, live from the draft. We'll be here. I will be there. I will be in town Tuesday, and I cannot wait to do the NHL draft with you. And
I will be covering the award ceremony live Monday. I will be. I'm in the VIP section, so hopefully I can get some quick interviews and some stuff like that for the show. Some quick comments, maybe we'll see what's going on. I know my way around that arena. I know my way around the city. I know my boy Kelly Chase is in town. Absolutely. Hey, if anybody knows Kelly, just tell the guy I worship the ground he walks on. Last year at the NFL draft, when I was here in Nashville a couple years ago, he's at the NFL draft, and I just see him. I've had a couple of drinks. Don't tell anybody, you know. And I was like, Kelly fucking Chase, man, the baddest motherfucker on the planet. And he just looks around and turns around and goes, yeah, I am. And he just kept walking. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm a big, big, gigantic fan. And I was actually honored when I would play roller hockey in New Jersey and all these leagues at Wallington and everything. I wore his number. I wore a helmet to match him. And I got into a couple scraps every once in a while. And one night, Bob Antelos, I don't know if you know Bob, but
I know Bob Antelos because he was my summer hockey coach in ISCA for my ISCA summer camps, the former head coach of the New Jersey Rock and Rollers.
And
his son Steve is in
Steve Off.
Yep.
But Bob is a lifelong friend of mine. Got me to skate after I broke my leg in 10 places, and I never thought I'd play sports again. Bob got me playing roller hockey 5 nights a week with him and the boys, and then it became an obsession. And Bob coined the phrase. He called me Chaser. He used to just call me Chaser because he, Bob was a former chief of police in Cliffside Park. Bob was a fucking badass dude. Bob played hockey like it should be played. He was a tough guy. He was with the Rock and Rollers. And well, I'm a loyal guy. Like if Bob is my guy, nobody better go near Bob while we're on the rink. And there was a couple of times like somebody might have bumped Bob or gave him a little two-hander, and that guy paid the price. Let's put it that way. My friends tell a funny story. I'll have to get the picture of the and put it up one day. A friend of mine, Tom Keelan, he's an officer at Fort Lee PD. We used to have a hockey team with the Hackensack Medical Center. And Michael DeMoro, another really good friend of Bob Antelos, was coming down along the boards. And this guy cross-checked him from behind and pretty much just drove Mike's head into the court, the floor. And Mike got knocked out. Well, I jumped off the bench, and obviously I fought the guy. They put us in the penalty boxes to try to separate us at McKay Park. And if you know McKay, it's open behind the penalty boxes. So I just jumped out, went in the penalty box, fought them in there. And then they put us, they sent us both to the rink, and they called the police. And as we're in the changing area in McKay, I realized that we're in the same dressing room. So I start fighting them again. And then the guy comes and he's like, you're thrown out. And I'm like, what, out of the game? And he's like, no, out of the rink. The police are on their way to escort you out. And it was just funny because Antelos would just shake his head and be like, oh, here he goes again. Like, I just created a fucking monster with this guy. But let's get back on track. I'm sorry. I love talking roller hockey stories too.
No, it's great. It's great. Bob Antelos is such a great dude. Him, Dennis Gelsic, all those guys got me, you know, just playing the game I love so much. And
Dennis is a great dude too, man.
Dennis is a great dude. He knows.
I cut Dennis for about 30 stitches over his eye. I feel terrible, man. One day we were playing up in Cliffside Park. And we both went for the puck, and I lifted his stick, and I didn't think he thought I was going to lift his stick, and he caught himself, and he ripped his entire eyebrow off, and it was actually stuck to the blade of the stick.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I mean, I kept it as a souvenir for a couple of weeks. It started to stink after that.
But next week, we'll be in Nashville doing a show. Hopefully, we can do it live from Bridgestone Arena from the restaurant.
Yeah, I'm going to have an answer on that tomorrow.
Yeah. That would be great. And then obviously we got covered awards, draft, and then big, big stuff next week. People, the show is going places. All in One Sports, Jimmy B, Ricky O. Continue to tune in. Continue to comment. Rob, thank you so much for your comments tonight. Guys, continue to support
the word,
show.
Please
share the show. We both do it. And again, thank you for all the support, guys. And I hope you guys have a great night and loved our wrestling talk because we do it every Thursday.
I think we're going to get together. We're going to take off Friday night. We'll take off Saturday. Let's get back together Sunday night for a pre-draft show, and let's get our pulse on what's going on. There might even be some trades made then or a lot more rumors coming out. We'll end real quick. Milan Lucic, free agent. My prediction, New Jersey Devils.
Hey, that's a great choice. Some people have said Boston. If he comes to New Jersey, that's great. I've also heard Max Domi potentially to Jersey as well. So
I love Max Domi, but let's save this for Sunday.
So let's save it for Sunday. But again, thank you, everybody. All in One Sports, Jimmy B, Ricky O. Talk to you guys again real soon.